Welcome to the DevOps Lab. Today, I have a very special guest, Cormac Foster from GitLab, and we're going to look at using GitLab to get your code into Azure. Welcome to the show, Cormac.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So who are you and what do you do?
I am a DevOps evangelist over at GitLab.
Cool. And what exactly is GitLab?
So GitLab is a single app for everything DevSecOps. So planning and managing your work, your version control, CI, security scans, CD, infrastructure as code, monitoring, all in one app.
Very, very cool. So that sounds very similar to certain products that Microsoft has, right?
It is. We cover a lot of the same ground as many products from many vendors in a slightly different way. We've got our own take on it.
Yeah. So why are you talking to us today?
Good question. What we don't do is we don't actually serve workloads. Azure does a great job of that. We have a lot of customers who are joint customers who are using Azure. Some of them are actually running the GitLab application on Azure right now. But we also have a lot of customers who are not Azure users yet, but they're considering moving some workloads from, some cloud provider or another to Azure. There must be another one out there, I don't know. Or on-prem to Azure. And we want to be sure that they get to deploy their workloads, that they know how to deploy their workloads as easily as possible into Azure if that's what they're looking to do.
Yeah, and it's perfect because Azure is a completely open system, right? So you can use whatever tooling you want to use to get into Azure. And in fact, I lead a team of 5 DevOps practitioners. And our sole charter is to help everybody get into Azure using DevOps best practices, not necessarily using Microsoft products, whatever tooling you want. So today I thought it would be pretty cool to use GitLab and get code from GitLab into Azure. Right? You want to see what I did?
I would love to see it.
All right, so let me show you what we have, right? This is actually kind of funny. Before all of my demos, I check them out in the morning, right? So this morning, I jumped in, looked at my demo, and this is what I saw.
Nice.
Good, right? My application is hosted up in Azure, so I jumped to my Azure subscription, and this is what I'm seeing, which is really frightening because apparently somebody has come into my sub and deleted absolutely everything. And that might be me. It was late last night, and I was cleaning out my sub, but there's whole bunch of build stuff in there and I wanted to clean it up and I may have cleaned up too much. But we should be okay because my code, it's right here, stored in GitLab. I also use GitLab CI/CD system, right? And when I built out my build and release pipeline, I used DevOps best practices, like using things like infrastructure as code. So in theory, I should be able to come in here, come to my pipelines, go ahead and kick off one of these pipelines, and it should build my application and then blow everything out, provision everything that I need out in Azure. As you can see, it's kind of a complex pipeline. I love this because you can jump in here and actually see what's happening live as it's running, right? And while it's deploying all of this, let's go ahead and let me show you exactly what I'm doing, right? So this application, it's actually kind of a fairly complex application. It's a applications that's using modern architecture, right? So it uses microservices. It has a web front end, it has a SQL Server back end, and it also has an API layer. Now, the web front end is old school .NET, right? It's not even .NET Core, this is old school .NET. The SQL Server database is just SQL Server database, but the API layer is actually written in Node, and I need to containerize it and run it in a Kubernetes cluster. So again, fairly complex. So what I did here was I built out my pipeline and I'm not a GitLab expert, right? So I just jumped into your docs, started reading it, and I was like, cool, your pipelines are basically described in a YAML file. So many of us do that now. So I was like, okay, I kind of get it. Once I started going through the schema, I was like, okay, I get this. I can figure this out pretty quickly. So what you're looking at right here is my build and release CI/CD definition file. It's in YAML. First thing that I do is I define some variables that I'm going to use. Then I have some functions that I'm going to use all over the place. And this is just script that you just stick in here. And then finally, it comes all of my stages where I'm actually building and deploying stuff. So what I thought was pretty cool once I looked at this is basically it's just command line calls, right? So it's kind of just a task runner or a step runner, one step after another step after another step. So it's pretty simple to script out exactly what you want your pipeline to do, right? Anything you can do from the command line, you can get your GitLab runner to do as well. So because of that, it was simple for me to create this build, right? What am I going to do? This is going to build my web and also my database project. So I'm going to use Visual Studio. I'm going to use MS Build, so on and so forth. Easy enough. If you can do it from the command line, you can get the system to do it as well. The next thing that I noticed that was really cool is that you all have your hosted runners, and you can also have your own custom runners. And your runners can be on basically any type of flavor you want, right? Linux machines. In my case here, I have a couple Windows machines as well. So hooray for that. This builds my web app. I have another one that builds a whole bunch of my infrastructure tools. Then I build my API layer. And then finally, I package everything up and it's ready to be deployed, right? And then same with your deployment. Again, easy enough. This is just a matter of defining the YAML. Again, it's just a step runner, right? One step after another step after another. So I go ahead and define what I want to do to deploy my application. So when I did this, I also wanted to make sure I use DevOps best practices, including infrastructure as code. So for this project, I could use, since I'm deploying everything into Azure, I could use ARM templates, I could use Terraform, or in my case here, I use PowerShell wrapped around the Azure CLI. Why did I do it that way? I don't know. It was easy. It was fast. Usually, if I was doing this officially, I probably would use ARM templates, but this is good enough to show what's going on, right? So I'm literally calling a PowerShell script. What is that PowerShell script doing? Simple enough. First thing I do is I pass in a bunch of parameters that I need. Then I go ahead and log into my Azure subscription using the Azure CLI. Then I start provisioning all the resources that I need. And then using the Azure CLI, I deploy it as well, right? So let's go ahead and jump back to our pipeline because it's probably done by now. I thought this was really kind of cool because the way that you define your YAML, you can make your pipelines do things in parallel, right? So I wanted this to happen as quickly as possible. So I'm building three separate pieces for my application. I'm building them in parallel. So I fan them out, then I fan it back in because before I do anything else, I have to deploy a set of tools within Azure that will help me deploy the rest of my stuff as well. And once that's deployed, I fan out and then in parallel, I do a whole bunch of stuff, right? I deploy my database. I deploy, once everything stood up, I set up my DNS. I set up and deploy my Kubernetes cluster and I deploy my web app as well. Now remember, I know this says deploy, but I'm doing more than just deploy. First, I'm provisioning the infrastructure that I need out in Azure. Then I deploy my application into that infrastructure. So once all of that is done, I then fan back in and I deploy Frontdoor on top of everything. Frontdoor, think of it as like an Uber load balancer. And once that load balancer is set up, I set up HTTPS because this is a real-ish pipeline. So because of that, I want to make sure I set my DNS and I set HTTPS. And when that's done, I even ran a set of automated web tests as well, Selenium tests. So in theory, we should be good, right? My application should be up and it should be running. So let's see if this really worked. If I go into my resource group, let me refresh and dun dun dun, look at that. We created a whole bunch of stuff. This one here is what's really kind of cool. If you look at this, this is all the resources to run my application. Remember, this app is pretty complex, right? I have an Azure App Service to run my web front end. I have Application Insight to gather telemetry on absolutely everything. I have my Frontdoor instance. I have my Kubernetes cluster. I have my SQL Server. And I even have Azure Storage and some Azure Functions that helps stitch everything together. So all of that was provisioned for me on the fly. Once that's done, then I deployed my application as well. So if we go here, let's refresh, and yay, there's my application all deployed out into Azure. Now here's something kind of cool too. In the step where I provision my database, my database is using Azure SQL, which automatically takes backups, right? So because of that, I'm like, wait a minute, if I am provisioning this for the very first time, if there's nothing there and I have to provision a brand new instance of SQL Server, that means something really bad has happened. Why don't I provision the SQL Server, go to the long-term backup storage, grab that, restore my database, so then now I have disaster recovery built directly into my pipeline. So to see if that works, let's go ahead and click on nutrition. And if we see data, that means it worked. If it's blank, that means my recovery didn't work. And there you go. Look at all the wonderful food that I ate, right? So we also have backup and recovery built in the pipeline. Last thing that I wanted to point out, check out this URL, right? This is not some Azure specific URL. This is using my DNS because I set DNS within my pipeline. And of course, this little lock right there, it's in the locked position because I set up all my certs, HTTPS and everything all within my pipelines. So why did I do all this stuff? Really, I wanted to see just how far I could push the CI/CD pipeline inside of GitLab. I figured if I could do something like this, right? Deploy app service, deploy into a Kubernetes cluster, provision everything, set up all sorts of crazy stuff, all within my pipeline. If I can do this, I'm absolutely convinced I can do whatever I need to do using GitLab to get into Azure. What do you think?
I think it's great. I think it's great to see, and it's great to see you embracing this because the Microsoft developer ecosystem, I mean, I'm a big fan. I use VS Code every day to work on the GitLab site. But it's the Microsoft ecosystem is very important to us and Microsoft developers. You know, we've got Windows runners. We've got a NuGet repo. We have a lot of .NET support coming out in the future. And anyone who wants to can come contribute to that. Everything's transparent at GitLab. You can come there. You can comment on our roadmap. You can tell us what you think we should be working on. But it's really great to see. We've also got some security stuff. I'd love to show you at some point in the future as well. But this is great. I mean, it's a nice, really push button way to get yourself into Azure. And I think this will be a great example for a lot of our customers who are looking to do that.
Thanks, man. Now, Azure, like I said earlier, Azure is a completely open system. All DevOps tools, they work seamlessly into Azure. So all you peeps out there, if your code is in GitLab, guess what? All the DevOpsy goodness inside of GitLab, it works absolutely perfectly with Azure. So for more information, go ahead, click on those links below, and join us next time on the DevOps Lab.